Remember the old Disney commercial at the end of the World Series? They would ask the winning pitcher, "Now that you've won the World Series, what are you going to do?" And he would respond, "I'm going to Disneyland." We've just been through 2 weeks of the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. What are you going to do now? Well, if you're like any other Christian, you're going to move on to chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and see how you take that faith and run your race with endurance. This is Abounding Grace. Let's join Pastor Chris Gordon, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, for today's program.
It's interesting. Paul described life this way elsewhere when, you know, he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing." Life is a race, Paul said. I've had my race, and I'm ready now to get to the finish line. I'm ready for the reward. This is such a common metaphor and a common use of this that we would understand and appreciate and I think connect with. You know, you're all in a race. You all have life as appointed as a race. It's not meaningless. We believe God's appointed life. We believe God has appointed your race. And here's what we learn in Hebrews 11. God has placed everyone in the race of faith. There are challenges in this. Remember what he just said. Some through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames. Others faced jeers and flogging and chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. Every one of you here is in a race. And whatever you're going to do by faith is appointed by God. Whatever you're going to accomplish, it may be a suffering death. It may be more triumphant. This is God's plan. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. You belong in body and soul to somebody else who purchased your life. You don't own yourself. And he has put you in a race. That's what he's saying to us. Here, some of you ran yesterday in the Alternatives for Life, Alternative for Life race. Well, that's a good thing. It'd be interesting to see how the different runners ran. It'd be interesting to see how many who were older thought they could still run like they were in high school and paid the price this morning. I'm saying something that I have firsthand knowledge of, but I'm not going to talk too much about here. It'd be interesting to see how Lyle Faber ran, as opposed to one of the other younger Fabers. He's concerned about endurance, isn't he? He's not talking about speed, which you'll be thankful. He's talking about endurance in this. He wants endurance from you. The race is already won. That's what he's going to say here shortly. Christ has already run the race. He's already finished the race for you. He's already crossed over the line for you. He's already resurrected from the dead. But I want you running. I want you on the track. No matter your age, no matter your place, no matter what you think about your place in the kingdom, you're in my appointed race. Now, if we don't understand this basic point, that this life, there is appointed for us a race and certain things that God has specifically assigned for us. There's an assignment in your race. If you don't understand that, you're going to look at all the hardships. You're going to look at the things that happen. As we talked about last time, some people get really mad at God. You're going to look at the trials and you're going to be confused. And he has put that out. He has said, "Listen, I am so sovereign over your lives and over your race. I've got it marked out." You have to understand this. We're going to consider Jesus in a moment. He says something important, though, right after that. "I'm really concerned." Did you notice verse 3? "Because some of you are becoming weary and faint-hearted." You're tired of running. You're tired of running. See, that's his concern. He's really concerned about this. Now, if I went around and asked you today, some of you might feel, like your race is going well. Many of you may not feel that way. It'd be interesting to survey. You're burdened about many things. You're distressed about many things. You're concerned about many things. Maybe hearing about Noah and Abraham and Moses didn't help so much because you think your life is just not quite as significant. Maybe that's really what it is. You think there's no real purpose to you. And so you haven't even understood the value of your own race. We're always looking ahead too in fear about what is to come, so we're never really focused on the race today. Did you hear the calling? Run the race that is set before you right now, today. Today is sufficient for its own trouble, said Jesus. There's a lot of things you can look down the track. You're running today. The race God's assigned. And what he's saying to each one of you faces, each one of you faces unique challenges in this. No two races the same, if you will. Two runners in their race. We all run by faith. There are different challenges in this. You have real challenges as in your marriages, husbands and wives. In your work. In the church. To think sacrificially. All the hardships that come along with life. Seen enough people step off the track in the ministry. It's all appointed by God, many of these things you're facing. Many of the assignments, all the assignments he's given you. And even the things that confuse us, we have to trust him, don't we? So notice what he's doing here. Therefore, and he even says this in verse 13, if you look down to verse 13, therefore lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet. We'll come to there. We'll get there. So this is running all the way through this metaphor of the race. He wants us to think about it. The author's concern is that you have not yet appreciated and understood you're in your own race. And that the problems of life, the appointed hardships, are hindering your running. You're not running by faith. You're running by sight. That's the first encouragement here. He's saying, all of these witnesses are here. They're in the stands. And these saints you know about, what are they saying to you? I don't know how many times I've heard this preached, and it's somewhat annoying. When they're preached as cheerleaders, they are not cheerleaders. Go, just go. Listen, I was an athlete and I never looked to the cheerleaders for inspiration. Sorry, I just didn't do that. Their job was to stir up the crowd, What inspired me was somebody who could give me insight, who was somebody who's a player who knew the game. Notice what they're called. They're witnesses. Witnesses bear witness to something. Well, as they once were, so now am I. So run the race to the finish. What are they saying? What are they saying to us? This is the best part. What are the witnesses saying? What are they bearing witness to? The truth. That all of God's promises are yes and amen about the future life. They are witnesses to you, testifying that everything God's promised you, he's faithful to do. They've received. Of course, they're waiting for the final resurrection. But they're with the Lord. They were participants in and witnesses, Steve Ball says this, to the world to come. What that means is they're saying to you, being dead, they still speak, keep running. All of this is true. All of this is true. This is not a mind game. God's promises are true. Believe them. We sing about this, Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. They've run their race, and they're saying to you, God is faithful. God is faithful. Look at how he gave them power, we talked about, in all these circumstances to overcome. He'll do that for you too. You need that. The author here wants them to appreciate what's holding them back, though. That's my second point here briefly, you'll notice, the challenges. Holding them back from endurance, holding them back from running. Why are you not enduring? Well, there's two things here that are said. What keeps us from running? Notice the verse says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely and run with endurance. So there's the problem. There's the challenge to the race right there. He already said in chapter 10, you're in need of endurance. You have need of endurance. We are not of those who shrink back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. This would have been very familiar to runners, of course, in the ancient world. It's familiar to runners today. I have a running household. We're always talking about running. Runners would be very lean, and before the race, then they would strip down in many of these races naked and run. You know, I think runner shorts today are way too short. But you get the point. You got to strip down so that nothing on you would be a weight that would hold you back. There's weights on you. There are weights on you. And most likely what he's thinking about is the world here. Just like Moses. The weight of the world. And all of the burdens that are coming at us constantly. You're carrying around. Like you're going to solve the world's problems. It's really remarkable. Look at all the time we give to things that are weights. Take them off. It's so freeing. Take them off you. You don't have to carry them. It's not yours.
And then he says something really important. And the sin that easily ensnares you. Sin is not just a weight. It causes you to stumble in the race. And I think the encouragement here is that he is speaking to Christians. There's no delusion about the presence of sin in your lives and the real struggles that it's causing you. He's so pastoral here. He understands sin is really in your lives. Sin is really present. You're struggling with it. He gets that. And this is in and of itself is meant to be an encouragement. He's saying it to believers. There are sins hindering your endurance. Are there sins in your life that are keeping you from the walk of faith, the run of faith? What are they? Well, take the Ten Commandments. It's really a wonderful gauge to set in front of your lives. Are there idolatries that you're giving all of your time and your money for, that you're serving? Those are consuming idols in your life. Are you bowing to them? What about the Lord's name? How are you honoring that? Not only in the way you speak, but the way you live. About the Sabbath day. Is there? It's a really interesting thought. I would suggest a crucial sin that ensnares more people more than they ever know. Is it on the day that God gave for people to look to Christ, to rest from their evil works? Isn't it interesting he uses, they turn their foot from it and they step off the track doing their own thing. While our culture, we have chalked it up as legalism. Nice out.
Is there disregard for authority? Are you in conflict with your neighbor, not forgiving, hating somebody? Is there sexual sin that's ensnaring you? Pornography, adultery. Sin weakens you, ensnares you. Are you stealing? Is your energy given to gossip? What of your desires? Where are they? See, I know you're struggling with these things. Be aware of this. Take off the weights and set aside the sin. What you will find is if you feel you're not running this race very well, it may be. It may be that sin is ensnaring you. The weight of the world and sin. And sin has a weakening influence on you. It weakens your body. It weakens your spiritual life. One pastor asked, each of us should look at our lives and ask, what's hindering us from the life of faith? Are these weights and sins that ensnare? Well, where does he leave us today? He wants to motivate you to the greatest consideration of all, everything he's been working to. And he builds to this now. He says after that, in great consolation, here's what I want you to do as the great solution. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's just a wonderful statement. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Do that because I know many of you are weary and growing faint-hearted. Consider what he endured. You know, that's just a wonderful verse. It's such a pastoral plea. Look to Christ. It really sort of begs the question, what is Christ like to you? What is Christ like to you? When I was an athlete in college, I remember I wasn't playing well. And my coach, who was an abrasive, hard man, ex-military, called a timeout. Whole gym got quiet because he got nose to nose. He's spitting on me, yelling as loud as he can. The whole gym is taking this in as an entertainment piece, by the way. What do you think that did to me? You think that made me play harder? I was angry. And I'm the kind that when someone gets in my grill, I shut down. That's Bobby Knight style. Throw chairs at players to get them motivated. They say that players loved playing for John Wooden. John Wooden was a good man, earthly standards. I think he was a believer. He was a gracious, loving coach, and his players loved playing for him. They gave everything because they loved their coach. The Lord inspired this to say, run to me. Run to me. What do you think I'm like? Why do you think I came here? What do you think I did for you? A bruised reed and a smoking flax I will not despise or put out. What a gracious and compassionate Savior we have. You've got to keep running knowing that you're running to Him. The imagery here is Christ finished the race for you. The victory is already won. He is beyond the finish line. What the author is saying here is he's the author and the perfecter, the completer of our faith. He's faith origin, and the word means accomplisher. So he loves his brethren so much that he's calling you to look to him in all the troubles as the one who gave you faith, who began the work of faith, and the one who brings faith to completion for its intended design and goal. It's what Voss said last time I emphasized. There's power given to you from on high to offset the power of persecution. Whatever it is that causes weariness and discouragement, he's saying, look to Jesus, look to Christ. He doesn't just stand there waiting for you. He doesn't just stand there rooting you on. He is the one who gave you faith. He's the one that will complete faith. He's the one that gives you power in the present to overcome. That's what he's saying. I love John Owen said, a constant view of the glory of Christ will revive our souls and cause our spiritual lives to flourish and thrive. The more we behold the glory of Christ by faith now, the more spiritual and heavenly minded will be the state of our souls. The reason why spiritual life in our souls decays and withers is because we fill our minds full of other things. But when the mind is filled with thoughts of Christ and His glory, these things will be expelled. That's how spiritual life is revived. What's weighing you down? What sins? Look to Jesus. Consider Him who, for the joy, isn't this a remarkable statement? For the joy that was set before Him endured the cross for you. Yeah, all that suffering, all that pain, facing, my God, why have you forsaken me? He went to it with joy because he had his eye on you to save you and complete the work. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. His race was different, of course. He suffered all the wrath and judgment of God in your place to forgive your sins. And doing it with joy, what he's telling you here is he gives you real encouragement and power in your walk of faith for whatever he's appointed in your race. So get up and run. Are you discouraged and weary in your souls? Consider him who endured such hostility for you, who gives you the power to press on. And see what he's concerned about. It's not about speed. It's about endurance. And today, you know what he does for you? In the race, he gives you a giant table to stop by and be refreshed, to receive bread and wine for your weary souls, that you might taste and see that the Lord is good. When Stephen was martyred as he was dying, he records something marvelous. I looked up, and the Lord was standing from his throne to receive me. That's what was recorded there. This is what the witnesses are testifying to. His faithfulness to his promises. You are today on the track. You are the runners. And he has so ordered your lives and placed you where you are and appointed what you're going to face that you would look to him by faith and overcome. That you would receive power from on high and overcome. And then he shall receive you into glory. Psalm 73. Look to Christ. His promises do not fail. Everything good he has promised. May you be strengthened today in him to complete the race that is set before you today.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732. Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Abounding Grace and what the Reformed perspective brings to the gospel and our love for Jesus, well, on behalf of Dale Van Dyke, pastor of Covenant Grace URC, I would like to invite you to join them at Covenant Grace. Worship services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. They're located at 1227 Loomis Trail Road here in Linden. They're a small church, but with big arms. For more information, visit their website, covenantgracereformedchurch.org, or give them a call, 360-354-2781.